Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio is what you're listening to, AFR.net on the internet. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here today.
And Fred Jackson also co-hosting with me today. Good morning, Fred.
I am here on this, the last few days of the year and just a few days before Christmas.
Yeah. Now, you going to be taking off any time?
A few days here and there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, spend some time with family.
Well, Ed Vitagliano decided to take himself a two-week break.
See you next year, Ed.
Yeah, so he'll be back after the when we start the new year. Ed's one of those, and we all know him, if you work with people, they save their vacation days to the end of the year and then take off 6 months. or so it seems. So it seems. You know, I had to tell our staff, earlier in the year, I had to say, y'all, we need to spread our vacation time away. That way, everybody isn't taking off the month of December here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't find anybody to do anything. So, but anyway, Ed, if you're wondering where Ed is, he'll be back, after the Christmas/New Year's break. Walker, tell folks how they can follow us here on the internet if they want to watch the show.
Yeah, several different ways to keep up with the show. The first way is you can simply visit our website, AFR.net. AFR.net is our website. You can also follow us on Facebook, where you can watch the show each weekday, watch the live show, Today's Issues, and we'll also be posting the news articles there. So both on Facebook, watch the show, get the news articles, or you can go to the website, AFR.net.
Facebook, YouTube, we're there on both?
Yes, sir. We're also live streaming on YouTube, that's right.
Okay, just type in Today's Issues and check it out. And again, we thank everybody for listening to AFR. Let me just say this one thing, and then we'll move on to our news of the day. By the way, we'll have Governor Phil Bryan of Mississippi on at a quarter after.
That's right.
And that is this. We are a listener-supported Christian radio network, and so we depend on people who listen to us and believe in us underwriting us financially. Unlike national public radio, we don't get any taxpayer dollars.
That's right.
All right? There aren't any big corporations that write us checks. In fact, there are only a handful of people you would call wealthy that make contributions to us. I can name them, a few people, but they're only a handful. So what I'm saying to you is that 99% of our existence here at AFA and AFR can be attributed to the monthly gifts of folks of $25, $50, $100, whatever the case may be. So maybe you have the ability here at the end of the year to write an extra check to help us. If so, it would be greatly appreciated. And so I'm just going to say that to you and just to let you know, think of us at the end of the year if you have extra money that you can make a gift and get a tax deduction, right, Walker?
That's right.
We're a charity, so we're a 501c3 charity. So if you make a gift to AFA or AFR, then you can use that as a tax write-off. But anyway, just wanted to remind people about that. We would be honored if you made a special year-end gift to help us here at AFA and AFR. And I know many of you already give on a monthly basis, or you write us one check a year, whatever the case may be. But if you want to get in touch with us, just go to comments@AFR.net. That's our email address, comments@AFR.net. Or you can give us a call here at American Family Radio in Tupelo, Mississippi. And our phone number would be 800-326-4543 or 800-FAMILIES, FAMILIES. Is our phone number. So anything you can do to help us here, at the end of the year again would be greatly, greatly appreciated. All right, Fred, what's leading the news this morning?
Yeah, December is not a quiet news month, that is for sure. In fact, today, up in Washington, the former director of the FBI, James Comey, is back behind closed doors before the House Oversight and Judiciary Committee, because in just a few weeks, the Republicans will lose their chairmanship of these committees, and they wanted one more attempt to get some truth out of the former FBI director. In particular, the big story is really how, when he was FBI director, he managed to get former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn to agree to be interviewed by two FBI agents without the presence of a lawyer. Michael Flynn, who's now facing perhaps some prison time for something to do with nothing to do with Donald Trump and Russian collusion. Let's be very clear about that. But when James Comey was FBI director, he admits he sent a couple FBI agents over and with the intent, I believe, to try to trap Michael Flynn into a lie. In fact, it's really interesting. He admitted after his first appearance before that committee just back several days ago, James Comey went on MSNBC and basically said, you know, under other administrations, I probably wouldn't have done that. Just to tell Michael Flynn, hey, you don't need a lawyer with mm-hmm. you. We're just coming over for a little chat. So cut number five.
Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, in the George W. Bush administration, for example, or the Obama administration. So if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
That was James Comey.
That's a former FBI director saying he got away with something.
That was stunning. When I heard him talking about this on national television, I saw the clip. My jaw dropped. I go, you know, he's like you said, he's admitting to setting up mm-hmm. General Flynn. And I remember when this first happened, people were like Sandy Rios was saying basically he was tricked. This General Flynn was tricked. And what James Comey's saying right there is, and this is the FBI director at the time. No wonder that President Trump and people around him thought they were out to get him mm-hmm. And trying to, you know what I'm saying? Because they were, they were. And for what James Comey's saying is there that we broke protocol. And normally we would have done things differently, but I told him, go ahead and go try to get him. And what they did, if you don't know, folks, if you don't follow the everyday news of what's happening with this whole story of Robert Mueller and especially, I know it gets boring or it gets tedious and it's hard to keep mm-hmm. up with, but specifically regarding this one man, General Flynn was set to be President Trump's national security advisor, which is a cabinet position, is it not?
No.
It's not?
No, but it's on up there. It's one of the highest positions.
But that national security advisor is one of the top positions, maybe not a cabinet position, but in the White House. General Flynn had a distinguished career in the military. Army. Yeah. He's general.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened was the FBI sent two agents over to the White House to interview him, basically when he's moving into his office mm-hmm. at the White House to get started working for the president as national security advisor. These two FBI guys are sent over there to interview him. And they're interviewing him about, they're acting like they're all chummy and friendly and everything. And they're asking him, did you have a meeting with a phone call?
With the Russian ambassador.
Ambassador, right. Which is not illegal.
Right.
Okay. But General, if he had one, and he did, the meeting was not illegal. Okay. So the General Flynn either says, I don't recall, or no, I didn't. I don't know what he said, but what he said was inaccurate, right?
Some say
what he said was inaccurate, but so that's what he got nailed for.
Mueller's team is saying that he lied, that he was inaccurate.
Okay.
But the FBI agents who were in the room, who wrote down the 302 forms, they said Flynn didn't lie.
Right, right. So you have a situation there where General Flynn is being interviewed by the FBI, and he doesn't have a lawyer present. And what James Comey is confessing to is that under normal conditions, if you're going to go, FBI is going to go interview somebody working at the White House, the White House lawyers are present.
Yes.
So they can, you know, they can understand what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. It was an
entrapment. Basically, yes. We're talking about an entrapment of General Flynn. And he's broke now.
And he's broke.
He had to sell his home.
Let's be clear, too. You heard James Comey said that they were disorganized.
Who was disorganized? The White House?
James Comey was saying
the investigation.
We were going to take advantage. This interview between the FBI agents and General Flynn took place on January 24th, 2017.
4 days after the inauguration.
Four days after the inauguration.
Oh, my goodness.
So Comey says, hey, they're just setting up the furniture over
right,
there.
Right, right.
I'm going to send
Take advantage of it. He ought to be ashamed of himself.
And Flynn said, "Do I need an attorney present?" And McCabe said, "That's not necessary."
He did say that?
Yes,
McCabe, I didn't know that.
McCabe emailed back and said, "There's no need for that."
The deputy FBI director.
Oh yes. My goodness!
Yeah,
that's why somebody I was reading last night said this case may be. It was Daryl Issa, Congress from California. He said this case may be thrown out by a judge because basically what you got here is what amounts to a speed trap.
It's a setup.
Huh?
It was a setup.
It was a setup again. Yeah. And the shame of it is General Flynn had to pay his own lawyer fees.
Yes.
To defend himself. He did admit to guilt. What did he say? Confession.
Yes.
That he did meet with the.
He pled guilty, but that doesn't mean he is guilty. He pled guilty, but his attorneys may have told him to do that for various reasons.
And basically, though, he had to sell his house to pay his attorney's fees to defend himself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so as somebody pointed out the irony of this, is Governor Brian on? No, not yet.
Not yet.
The irony of this is James Comey has left the government, and he still has government lawyers.
Yes.
Yes, because he had a Department of Justice lawyer with him, James Comey, the other day.
Yes.
When he appeared before this hearing.
Right. So he doesn't have to pay for his lawyers, but General Flynn has to pay for his personal lawyer to defend himself.
Yeah.
And Robert Mueller, the other day, did recommend to the judge that the general not serve any jail time.
Right.
Going, well,
duh.
But, I mean, still, the way this whole thing went down, even on the public admittance here of former FBI Director James Comey, is just shameful, to say the least.
And the comparison to the Hillary Clinton investigation is that Hillary Clinton's associates, none of them were charged with perjury. Despite the fact that the FBI said that Hillary Clinton's associates misled the FBI investigators on multiple occasions. And so you had this leniency with the Hillary Clinton investigation where her people lied under oath and they weren't charged, but President Trump's associates lie or mislead investigators on technicalities and they're charged.
One more point, you kind of alluded to it a moment ago, Walker. One of the FBI agents who went over to the White House was Peter Strzok.
Right.
Who we now know from messages was Hillary Clinton supporter.
Yes.
So the agent that the FBI director, James Comey, one of them, sent over to the White House was an enemy of the Trump administration.
And even Peter Strzok said that Flynn did not lie.
Yeah.
Well, unbelievable. When I heard that the other day, I'm sitting here thinking, you're admitting this? I'm talking about James Comey.
Mm-hmm.
You're admitting this on national television that you set up the general?
Yeah.
Flynn and said I took advantage of them not being organized at the White House?
Yeah.
And then again, to remind you folks, what he got in trouble for, what he confessed to, General Flynn, was not something that was illegal because he was having a conversation or a meeting, I don't know what it was exactly, with the ambassador for
Russia.
And you know what? People have meetings all the time and with foreign dignitaries and ambassadors. And everybody's got an angle. Everybody wants something. There was nothing illegal. Right. Am I right?
You're right.
There's nothing illegal about what he did.
That's why it's a transition. You talk you start to prepare for your job position.
Sure. So anyway, unbelievable that that James Comey would say, yeah, I took advantage of them being disorganized, just moving into the White House, and sent two guys over there without. And then I didn't know that McCabe had told General Flynn, you don't need a lawyer.
Attorney. Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if this whole thing's not thrown out.
Yeah, it should be.
This is what you call entrapment.
Yes.
Huh? In normal legal terms, right?
That's right.
That's right.
I mean, that's what it. That's
what it is.
It's what it is. Yeah. It's just unbelievable. And it's to do this against a guy who served our country so long in such a distinguished way, it's just, anyway. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. We want to welcome to our program now Governor Phil Bryant of Mississippi. We are going to discuss what, Walker?
We're going to discuss the First Step Act. Governor Bryant, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Morning, gentlemen. Glad to be with you.
Good morning. Now, tell us, we're talking about federal legislation.
Absolutely. But guys, you know, we started this some time ago in 2014 in Mississippi with our Right on Crime Act. And we looked at those nonviolent offenders, which is exactly what the federal First Step Act. We said, you know, there'll be no crimes against children, which is a provision of the First Step Act. We said it won't, again, it will exclude anyone that is banishing a firearm, using a firearm in any type of violent or felonious way. It includes fentanyl and heroin traffic offenders. It excludes any crimes against children, particularly those of a sexual nature. So as I work with the president, President Trump, on this now nearly 6 or 7 weeks when we first began to discuss this, we looked at what happened in Texas and when Rick Perry was governor out there and, again, had a Smart on Crime bill, and we looked at Georgia and what Nathan Deal was able to do there. And when we met with the president, he was very aware that southern states with very conservative law and order governors — I'm a former law enforcement officer, so I've put a lot of people in jail, and I understand what jails and prisons can do and what they're good for and how beneficial they are to society and protecting our citizens. So I sat down with the president and said, here's what we must do. We must have a set of eliminations, and so these must be for the nonviolent offenders, many of which are trapped in the cycle of addiction, particularly nowadays with the great opioid and heroin epidemic that has swept across our nation, that are taking the lives of a lot of our children, our family, our coworkers. This addiction knows no socioeconomic barriers. And so we are working hard to see those that can be recidivized, those that can be under a controlled environment within the prison system, act in such a manner that they will have the opportunity to even apply for a First Step Act. And then we depend a lot on the warden and the Department of Corrections here in Mississippi when we passed our act, but the Bureau of Prisons on the federal level, to be able to sit down with a very detailed, if you will, testing mechanism to be able to say each inmate will receive a number for the good things that he does. If he is involved in GED programs, if she is involved in a drug and alcohol recidivism program, if they have no problems while they're in prison, and then once they go through the extensive rating with the Bureau of Prisons, then they would be considered for early release or for those times that they might be able to reduce their sentence by being a model inmate.
Hey, Governor Bryant, this is Walker here. One of the angles that I wanted to talk about is when these bills are introduced, a lot of times they're altered a little bit throughout the process before they make it to the president's desk. And one of the amendments that Senator Tom Cotton and Kennedy from Louisiana have brought up to hopefully firm up this bill and make sure that it doesn't have any unintended consequences is called the Cotton-Kennedy Amendment. I know I sent this over to you yesterday, but what's your general thought, what's your general feel as to whether that would even be a good amendment or not?
Well, obviously, we want to be very careful. When I met with the Sheriff's Association and the Federal Prosecutors Association, we were in the White House meeting with the Fraternal Order of Police and even the Narcotics Officers Association, and again, the Federal Prosecutors Association. One of the things that we began to insist upon that we wanted in the bill was to make sure that we protect crimes against children. And what the current bill says, that crimes against children will be excluded, including sex trafficking of children, sexual abuse of a child, child pornography offenses, or buying or selling of or trafficking of children. So as a former law enforcement officer and someone that's worked very hard in protecting children, created a separate agency here in Mississippi, the Child Protection Services Agency, we want to make sure that language is in there. I looked at the information you sent me. I now have some of our attorneys looking at it. I just got off the phone not more than 20 minutes ago with Senator Mike Lee, who is someone I respect immensely from Utah. Many are convinced now that that language is within the bill. So we certainly want to make it as strong as we possibly can. So I'm not offended by, needless to say, not offended, but would be encouraged by language that would help make certain that no sexual offenders are released early or released back into society. Mm-hmm. And Mike Lee currently believes, as does Ted Cruz, that language is in the bill. So we will see from the Senate arguments and discussions, and I've tried to look at as much information as I could about the bill since you and I first talked on yesterday. Mm-hmm. And again, I think the Ted Cruz amendment was very good. It will be introduced and accepted. That will be, again, Mike Lee and Ted Cruz's amendment, making certain that there are no ones that are either violent offenders or have committed crimes against children that will be included in early release.
Yeah, those are very, the Cruz amendment's a very good amendment, I agree.
It is. It is. There comes a point, and I'm not saying that's the amendment, but we get a lot of amendments in,
right?
And what you have to do is try to sit down and say, if this is going to be repeating current language that's in the bill, I don't want to give any opportunity for our friends on the Democratic side to come up and say, well, it's already in there and y'all should have known that. And, I've been in the legislative process many years, and you not only have to worry about what's good for you, but are you unknowingly at times or unaware that you might be able to give your opposition?
Hey, Governor Bratt, if you could in 1 minute, tell us we're talking about the First Step Act, which is federal legislation that's being proposed in Washington right now, folks. If you don't know what we're talking about, give us a 1 minute synopsis of what the intent and purpose of this legislation would be.
The intent of the purpose of the bill is to look at a failing system. Just now, about 25% of the prisoners that we release, and 95% of them will be released, will commit another crime. So we are releasing, whether we want to or not, we are releasing 95% of the current inmate population back into society. And we're doing a terrible job. Bureaucracy has failed the American people in making sure, as best we can, they do not go out and commit another crime. So we are taking a very detailed approach to this, and a case manager looking at every inmate and going through a very detailed review of that inmate and saying, are we certain before we just release them based on these the criteria that is now exists that has failed back into society? We're looking at nonviolent offenders who have not used weapons in a violent sort of way. Anyone who's committed a crime against children, those need to be in prison. Can we get someone clean and sober? Can we allow them to have a reentry program that will reduce crime and allow them to become a productive citizen? That's what the bill does.
Thank you, Governor. Appreciate it.
All right,
very much.
Gentlemen. Thank you. God bless you.
All right. That's Governor Phil Bryant of Mississippi, one of the advocates for the First Step Act. And it's bipartisan, isn't it, mm-hmm. Walker?
Yes.
One of those rare times when Democrats and Republicans generally agree on this, which always makes me suspicious. Huh?
Yeah, when Chuck Schumer and Ted Cruz agree.
Yeah, but you know, Governor Bryant is telling us why it's a good proposal. We'll see if it passes or not. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examined.
Why is there a universe and why are there orderly natural laws, which we use, by the way, to do science? In fact, you couldn't do science if there wasn't an orderly universe, if there wasn't reliable cause and effect, if there weren't precise and consistent natural laws.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, Stephen McDowell has been a personal friend of mine for a couple of decades now. He is one of the best historians I know. He is president of the Providence Foundation, and no one documents early American history, especially the Christian aspect of early American history, better than my friend Stephen McDowell. He is going with us on our spiritual heritage tours, and he'll be talking all along the way and answering questions, and you're going to enjoy spending time with him if you're able to go with us in June or September. Again, we're going to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and we're also going on a separate trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. So if you'd like to go on either one of these or both of them, contact us at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. There are times when people of goodwill have to stand up and fight, and that time has come for the good people of Ozark, Missouri. For a number of years, the town sponsored a drive-through Christmas light show in a local park. The centerpiece is a giant lighted cross. But the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a gang of out-of-town atheists and agnostics, filed a complaint demanding the cross be taken down. Instead of surrendering, town leaders have drawn a line in the sand. The cross, they said, will not come down. The Freedom From Religion Foundation fired back, saying it does not matter if 99% of the people in town support the cross. They say it's on public property and must be removed. The mayor brushed off their response, calling it a bunch of saber rattling. And I say good for the mayor. As history has demonstrated, the only way to deal with a bully is to fight back. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. And we hope you're looking forward to a great Christmas celebration and end of the year. As I mentioned earlier in the program, I know many of you, make special year-end donations to different charities and ministries. And that's certainly something that the Bible teaches, that we, support the work of the Lord, your local church, missionaries, and whatever the case may be. All I'm saying is we would like to be considered that for a year-end gift if you have that kind of capability here at American Family Radio. We always say, you need to support your local church first and foremost, and then as the Lord leads, other ministries. And we'd appreciate if you would consider us here at American Family Radio. Hey, we have with us now Lynn Ingram. Lynn joins us once a week, if possible. And Lynn is in the laundry business from Abilene.
That's right.
Texas. And he and his partner, Jim Duncan, they created a laundry detergent for us to offer here at American Family Radio
just for us, and the sales of the proceeds of which supports our ministry here at AFA and AFR. And Lynn joins us to answer laundry questions from time to time. Lynn, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. How are you this day?
Doing well. How's the day in Abilene so far?
Is Ed there? Tell him it's a beautiful day in West Texas.
I will. Ed's not here today. So
darn. I bet he's listening, though.
I know. Maybe he is, but I'll sure tell him you said it's a great day in West Texas.
Absolutely, Tim. Hope y'all are doing well.
We are. Redeemed Clean. Oh, by the way, folks, you can go to afastore.net, afastore.net. Go to that website, afastore.net, and purchase some Redeemed Clean laundry detergent. Check it out and see if you don't like it. I'm sure you will love it. And it will, and then, you know, we decided, hey, people are going to buy detergent anyway. Why not buy laundry detergent and also support our ministry at the same time? So that's the reason for Lynn, who's also a listener and a supporter, creating this product. There's a question for you, Lynn. Here it is. The question comes in, and here it is. I am using an over-the-counter product for pre-spotting. It works fine on most stains, but on certain stains, not so well at all. Am I doing something wrong?
To that, writer, that is a very common question, and no, they are not doing anything wrong. Tim, all their stains are all different. The biggest difference in the stains is there's a water-based stain, and there's a grease and oil-based stain. Grass organic stains are like grass and dirt. It's like what you have little kids or you work outside. It's just grunge. It's organic. Now, grease stains are a little different. That's like, you know, you get your soy sauce on there, sweet and sour sauce, or oil or grease from that you've been working on equipment comes on there. And it takes a different kind of spotter to get that stuff out. And when we design this, the Redeemed Clean Stain Remover has a water-based degreaser in there. You've got to degrease those stains and let them soak for a while instead of to get them off. And also, a temp in our business, it's called dwell time, D-W-E-L-L. And the longer that your detergent, your pre-spotter, your chemical, whatever, has a chance to set on that garment, especially that stain, and dwell, it has a better chance to work. So when you're doing stuff at home, you put a really good pre-spotter on there, stain remover like Redeemed Clean has, let it soak, let it set up, and then just wash it maybe the next day or so. Chances are you'll have a real good chance of removing the majority of the stains. You know, the things that come in a commercial environment, anybody can get those out. It's easy. But it's those little extra things that are hard to get out, like the grease stains or the stains on the bottom of a wedding dress. You know, they've had such a good time dancing and playing and dragging that long train in there. It's hard to get that kind of stuff out, and it takes time. Mm-hmm. So that's really the key. If you'll just let it dwell on there for a while, you'll have a whole lot better chance, and by using the right product, of getting almost all the stains out, Tim.
Lynn, one of my favorites, this is Walker here, one of my favorites is the multi-surface cleaner. Tell our listeners a little bit about the multi-surface cleaner.
That was designed to clean. We do a lot of restoration of things that have been in fires. And we do electronics, we do countertops, we do enamel, other things, glass. And this was designed initially to clean those things that come out of these really tough, sooty environments. Well, it's strong, but it's still sensitive enough that you can use it on most everything, your vinyl, your glass, on your cars, on your granite, on your other hard surfaces. It is a good stain remover. It's a good multi-surface cleaner. And Walker, it's just like what you say. It's a multi-surface. It works on almost every surface, Walker.
Hmm. All right, folks, if you want to buy your Redeemed Clean laundry detergent or stain remover, go to afastore.net, and we have all the information is there, afastore.net, afastore.net. Lynn, again, before we let you go, why are you and Jim Ingram doing this? Excuse me, you and Jim Duncan, your partner. Why are you guys, why are you guys doing this?
Can you give me just a couple of minutes
Go.
And I'll tell you.
Go.
Number one is we felt called to do this. God called it. Like my wife said, Lynn, you have to do it. God called you to do it, you have to do it. And we have listened to y'all, we've supported y'all for many, many years. When we had the ability and the financial resources to do this, we just, well, even before, we just said we need to do it in some large way. How can we take advantage of the listening audience that AFAA has at AFR that are so passionate and dedicated to do God's work and to listen and become and to learn and be informed? So, Tim, once God called us to it, then we did all the research. We came and researched, y'all, as you well know. We came in a spiritual heritage tour to just see, to look you guys in the eye, to see what you stood for. And then we just got confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. This is where we need to support Christian ministry and efforts and endeavors. Of course, we still take care of our home churches and our all the different things and where we live. But how can we take a stand and dedicate proceeds to your ministry of what y'all need to do? That's really it. We love what you stand for. We love your families. And we want to encourage you, and we want other business people to see that they can use the efforts that they have. How can they take a couple of laundry guys, you know, and use them to support the ministry in a big way? How can they use other businesses and other business people, men and women alike, to support them financially?
Thank you, Lynn. Appreciate it. God bless you, brother.
Guys, Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
That's Lynn Ingram from Abilene, Texas, long time in the laundry business there.
Mm-hmm.
5 decades, I think.
Yep,
you said.
His father started it.
So anyway, go to afastore.net to find out all the information you need about everything we just talked about, afastore.net. Is there an 800 number?
There is. If you want to call in order instead, you can call. Here's the number, 877-485-5527. Here's the number again to call in, and you can order Redeem Clean over the phone, 877-485-5527.
Where does that ring?
That rings our offices here.
Okay. So we answer our own phone calls related to this.
That's right.
Okay. Toll free, 877-485-5527 or afastore.net, afastore.net. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred.
Next story, what you're going to hear, you know, you talked about December. It's a busy news month. And what you're going to hear a lot of this week is talk about a government shutdown. And you're going to hear the Democrats and the mainstream media saying that President Trump wants to shut down the government because he's demanding money for a border wall. Well, over the weekend, Democrat Senator from New York, Chuck Schumer, was out there saying, well, you know, Trump would rather shut down the government. He's giving a priority of shutting down the government, denying services to the American people just because he wants a Trump wall. And that's the way the Democrats refer to it. Well, let's be very clear about something, folks. First of all, when you talk about a government shutdown, that only involves about 20% of the government. Your Social Security checks and everything else are going to continue. But President Trump is willing to take a stand here because he realizes the seriousness of what's going on our southern border. Thousands of people are coming across our border illegally every month. Every month. That's how porous it is. The president, you will remember, initially said he wanted $25 billion. He has compromised dramatically down to $5 billion. But the Democrats and some Republicans who are in bed with the Democrats on this, the most they're willing to give the president is $1.6 billion. Well, listen to Chuck Schumer. He was on one of the, I think it was Meet the Press over the weekend, cut number three. This is what he had to say about his defiance and denying the president money to build that wall.
President Trump should understand there are not the votes for the wall in the House or the Senate. He is not going to get the wall in any form. Even the House, which is a majority Republican, they don't have the votes for his $5 billion wall plan. All he's going to get with his temper tantrum is a shutdown. He will not get a wall.
Because the Democrats don't want him to wall. By the way, the Republicans are disputing Schumer's claim that he doesn't have the votes in the House. The Republicans are saying there are enough votes, at least up until the Democrats take control next month. Now, It's a question of who you're going to believe. You're going to believe Senator Chuck Schumer of New York, who I'm not sure has ever been down to our southern border even, and he declares we don't need the money for the wall. But this morning on Fox and Friends, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner, this is the guy who oversees the people who put their lives on the line every day at our border. His name is Kevin McAleon. He was on Fox and Friends, and he says there is no question. We have got to do something about securing our southern border, and he says a wall is needed. Cut four.
We absolutely need a wall. This is what our agents on the ground have told us they need to control key areas of the border. It's called impedance and denial. If someone can just run across and disappear into a neighborhood, it makes it a lot harder for our agents to do their job. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for two decades. Chief Provost has been doing this for 25 years. Border Patrol agents have always wanted more barriers on the border to help them do their job. It's the only way you can stop large groups from flowing across. There are areas of the border where you've got a large population center on the south side, and immediate access to transportation hubs or neighborhoods on the north side. You've got to have a wall in between those two areas to help us control and slow people down from crossing. Other areas of the border, technology is a great solution. Having aircraft patrol those areas, absolutely appropriate. You need a combination.
So there you have it. He's not saying you need to build this 20-foot wall across 2,000 miles.
Right.
But there are areas where there's the Border Patrol. There's the guy in charge.
Right.
He says we need a wall in those areas. That's what President Trump is talking about. Where you need the wall, we need to build it, and I need $5 billion
yeah,
to do it.
The effectiveness of the wall is undebatable. I mean, you can't debate facts. And the facts is other countries, including Israel, have used a wall. We've used a wall in certain areas on the southern border, and it's up in the high 90s as far as the dramatic decrease in illegal crossings. Israel cut their illegal crossings, I believe, on the Syrian border by 99.9% when they did this. So border walls work, and nobody's ever said that it stops, that it 100% stops everyone from crossing it. Yes, there will be people who try to scale the wall. That happens, but it slows them down and allows Border Patrol to step in there. But the one thing I want to say, the last thing I'll say here is, if President Trump's not going to fight, go to the mat and fight for this, then he does it. We don't need this big show only for him to give in. He either needs to fight or he needs to sign a budget bill today, because this whole we drag it out and it shuts down for 2 days,
yeah,
and then at the end Trump doesn't get what he wants and the Democrats get what they want, that's just a big waste of time in my opinion.
Hmm. So you think, but we don't know that that's going to happen.
Well, there's reports now that the White House is looking for a temporary budget, like a two-week spending bill to get us through the new year. But my thing is, and you've said this before, Trump's going to be in an even weaker position after the new year because the Democrats are going to control the House.
Right. Let me just say this. We've talked about this a lot, but it was a signature issue for the president when he ran. And they have built some wall
they have
on the southern border. Well, two things. One is, you may say, well, the Republicans had the House, the Senate, and the White House for 2 years. Why didn't they pass wall funding then? It's a very good question. And they did pass some wall funding. I don't know how much exactly.
On a couple of occasions, they've passed $1.6 billion on a handful of occasions.
Okay, so you do have some trouble with establishment Republicans on this issue, because they are in bed with the big corporations that want cheap labor.
Yes.
And so that is a fact. Right, Walker?
That's correct. Very
so,
accurate.
So that's a problem. Then you also have the Democrats who, but keep in mind, Chuck Schumer, the guy who you talk about, who says President Trump's not going to get his border wall funding, you just heard a few minutes ago, he voted for fencing.
That's right.
Along the southern border in 2012.
In 06.
When Bush was
in the White House.
When Bush was in the White House.
Over 1,000 miles of double-layer fencing.
Right. So Chuck Schumer and others in the Democrats have already voted for, and by the way, I don't know, was that ever done?
No. It passed. The President Bush signed it, but then they quit sending money to fund the project.
Okay.
Congress did.
Okay. Well, so you got the Democrats. There's two things going on with the Democrats here, and why they don't want this money. They don't want President Trump to. They don't want President Trump to have any money to, maybe some money, but fraction of what he wants, is because the Democrats as a party, and if you don't believe this, that's fine. I'm not going to spend an hour trying to persuade you of this. I'm just telling you, by their actions, the old actions speak louder than words. Well, even words with the Democrats now, they say they don't want the border wall because for various different reasons. The reason that the Democrats don't want the border wall, and I mentioned why some Republicans don't, is because the Democrats have an ulterior motive here for changing our country. And that is, they want open borders. They won't say it like I just said it. Again, if you don't believe me, that's fine. I'm just telling you, this is my opinion, and this is a lot of facts to back this up. The Democrats don't want a border enforcement. They want open borders because they want illegal people to come here and flood our nation. If you flood the country, then the pressure builds for amnesty for the people who have come here illegally from either Mexico or Central America primarily. If you can give amnesty to these millions and millions and millions of people, that is, and by amnesty I mean basically you offer forgiveness and citizenship, then they will vote Democrat. 80-20, 90-10. Look, African Americans vote Democrat 90% because the to a large extent for what the social welfare programs that the Democrats gave them in the 60s. Okay, that's lasted until, now there are other reasons, but I'm just saying the loyalty of the African-American community to the Democrats goes on even to today. There's no, it's groupthink. There's no, very little, percentage of folks who will even consider voting for a Republican. So it's the same dynamic going on here. That is to say, they want loyalty from the Hispanic community. And if you get that 80-20, 70-30, what will happen in the next 10, 15 years or so is those numbers will overwhelm the Republican voters. It will be the death of the Republican Party as we know it. And that is the ultimate objective of the Democrats who are for open borders. Mm-hmm. So I think I made myself pretty clear, Nate. Yep. Some, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And
that's what's going on here. That's why when you say, because you scratch your head, you really do. You go, why would any Democrat or Republican be opposed to building a barrier? Because as the Border Patrol gentleman just said a few minutes ago, building barriers helps everybody.
Right.
Because it keeps the Border Patrol agents from having to have physical confrontations.
And President Trump even offered to give over 2 million people amnesty a year ago.
Yes, he did.
And the DACA. And Democrats, and he expanded it. It was supposed to be 800,000. Trump said, well, two million. We'll give 2 million amnesty. Democrats wouldn't even come to the negotiating table. They wouldn't for any border wall funding. And here's why. Because why would they cut off the spigot when they can wait in 5 years when there's a Democrat White House, a Democrat House, and a Democrat Senate, and they'll get amnesty without the wall? That's what the Democrats are thinking. That's why they won't give in to Trump, because they can just wait this thing out, wait till Trump's out of office, then they can give amnesty, and the number will grow then. They'll give amnesty to 3, 4, 5 million, and no border wall so that they get all the votes.
Anyway.
I go back to Dinesh D'Souza's documentary a couple of years ago. Was it Hillary's America? And pointed out very clearly the agenda. The Democrats want to change America into a socialist nation.
Right.
And you allow these millions of people coming in.
From socialist countries.
Socialist countries. Yep. You make them dependent on the government.
Yes.
And then they're going to keep voting for a government from where they're getting their checks.
Yes.
That's the bottom line in all of this, folks. Right. You know, Barack Obama said, change America. Change
fundamentally.
The world.
Fundamentally.
Mm-hmm. Change America.
Yeah, it's a shame that, you know, there was a day when Democrats and Republicans could fight things out politically and both of them, you say, well, both of them have good motives.
Yeah, like the day when the Secure Fence Act of 2006 passed.
Yeah, both of them have good motives. They just have different ways of trying to get to the get somewhere. But now I just have to say, with the current Democrat Party, mm-hmm. their motive is to destroy the Republican Party, which is interfering from their desires to turn this into a totally socialist, progressive country. Mm-hmm. And they want our country flood. The way you do that, you flood the country with people who are here illegally. Then you offer them amnesty and citizenship, and then they vote for you mm-hmm. forever.
Yes.
And it will, as I say, it will overwhelm. That's why there's concern about turning Texas purple mm-hmm. in the next few election cycles. Mm-hmm. That could happen if what I've happened, what I've said could happen. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next up, Fred.
Yes. You mentioned off the top of the program today that American Family Radio is worthy of people's support.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that we do here, we watch out for threats to religious freedom in this country. I just got a press release just about an hour and a half ago from Pacific Justice Institute. Here is an example of the story you will hear on American Family Radio, but you probably won't hear anywhere else. A judge in Green Bay, Wisconsin, on Friday ruled that a city's non-discrimination ordinance cannot be applied to churches and other religious organizations. Now, the city in question was DePere, Wisconsin. They have one of these non-discrimination policies that includes a non-discrimination on gender identity and sexual orientation in housing, employment, advertising, and public accommodations. But they didn't allow any exemptions for religious organizations. In other words, this ordinance covered your local church, that they could be found in violation of the city's non-discrimination policy because they have worship services in which they invite people, the public, to come in. Mm-hmm. It was the only ordinance of its type. This is why Pacific Justice Institute, based in California, were called upon to come in, because there were people there that recognized right away churches, and I think there was a Christian broadcaster in the area, recognized the danger of this ordinance.
Right. And where this in what city is this in?
This is DePere, Wisconsin.
Yeah, so the real-life consequences of this, for example, let's say you have a church and they're having deacon elections or something like that, or a job for the associate pastor or student minister comes open, and someone who's openly in sin, someone who's openly an adulterer or homosexual, etc., if that person applies and the church says, I'm sorry, but if you're in an openly rebellious and sinful lifestyle and you're unrepentant, then you can't have the position, that person could use these ordinances to then sue the church and be forced into that position, or forced to have the church compensate them through legal fees or other things.
Be very, very clear, folks. There are agendas out there across this country. They don't want churches to be exempted from these non-discrimination policies. Mm-hmm. There's another case, I forget the jurisdiction right now, where two women in a congregation were expelled because they confessed to being lesbians. Mm. They are now taking that church to court because they believe they have a right to stay as members in that church. Mm. This is one of the things, folks, that we're vigilant about here at American Family Radio. American Family Radio News is watching out for these things. Like I say, you won't hear reports, these kind of reports and these stories anywhere else. But this is one. But thank goodness this judge in Green Bay said no, the churches are exempted because there's still freedom of religion in this country.
Right.
And yes, inside the walls of those churches.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Fred, where can people find out more news from a trusted news source?
OneNewsNow.com. OneNewsNow.com. You go there. I encourage people, pastors, Sunday school teachers, you go there. You get news on these kinds of stories that you need to be discussing with your congregations and with your Sunday school classes, making yourself aware that don't take for granted the freedoms that we have today, because the enemy is out there.
We'll be back in a minute.
Stay there.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.